gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant. Or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
In today's episode, we are joined by Matt Nelson, an incredibly talented guy on and off the field, just simply a dude that is built to succeed in whatever he does. You're going to get to hear about his time in Iowa City all the way to now in Detroit with the Lions and his rare switch in position from one side of the ball to the other. What a story this guy has. We hope you have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washington fans, episode 213 of the podcast. Today we got another dope-ass guest, another guy who is far too intellectually talented to be sitting here with us two idiots, a guy who is clearly far too physically talented to be sitting here with us two idiots, a guy who is currently playing a position in the NFL that he's never played before until he got to the NFL. From defensive end, well, from one of the twin towers that didn't go down in a plane crash, to defensive end, to defensive tackle, to offensive tackle for the Detroit Lions. Matt Nelson, welcome to the Watch the Ball Guns podcast. As you can tell by your introduction, I like to be an idiot on this podcast. Glad to have you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
How you been, Matt?
It's been great.
Life's good.
Life's great.
Dude, it's
the second time.
We're just talking about Uyghurs, and I guess this is how much I pay attention. I didn't know that, like, y'all were – I mean, I knew y'all were friends. Same class, right? Like, you were one class behind us, correct?
Yes, yeah.
And so was Uyghurs. Uyghurs was the 2014 class QB recruit for the Hawks. I didn't know you guys were, like, super boys. Like, he was in your wedding?
Yeah, he's one of my best men with one of my high school buddies. So.
What a legend. What's he doing now?
He's in a DO school in pretty much – he's in medical school in Chicago right now.
He was always cut out to be a doctor.
Yeah, he's wicked smart. I mean, he makes me look like I'm an idiot. So.
No.
Yes, he does. The dude thinks on a different wavelength than a lot of people. I mean, the guy's really, really smart.
We got to have him on the podcast because I need to listen to these wave levels. I want to ask him theoretical questions and let him theorize.
Oh, yeah. You just need to throw out some oddball questions and just let him run with them.
Hell, yeah.
That'd be incredible. Matt, I recently saw you do, like, an interview with – it was probably somebody from Detroit Media or something like that, where, like, they gave you your – or they introduced, like, a playing card of you.
Yeah.
And it was, like, you were talking about how, like, you would collect when you were growing up. I think everybody collected sports cards when they were growing up to some extent. Or Pokemon or whatever, and now the sports cards are so big again. Is that kind of weird to see yourself on a playing card?
It's absolutely wild. Like, it's something that I, like, collected cards. Like, if I had $5 in my pocket when I was 8 years old, like, I'd have to, hey, Mom, can we go to the card shop? That's and awesome. I'd go and find, like, the guys that were, like, in the draft class. Like, AP was one of them. Like, there was all, like, the Texas guy, like Vince Young, like all those guys, Reggie Bush, like all those guys that were like legit.
Yeah.
In the day, I would have to have one of their cards.
Trying to find a rookie.
Exactly. And so, yeah. I mean, my collection probably isn't worth a whole lot. It's yeah. It's just the guys, like, I wanted a Reggie Bush card.
Right.
And it was like, if I had any money in my pocket, it was burning a hole in it, and I had to have them.
And so now they have Matt Nelson cards. Somebody's out there like, Mom, I got to go get me a Matt Nelson card.
That's just wild. I mean, they showed me this giant card, and I was –
Yeah, it was big as fuck, dude. I watched the video. Like, that's nuts.
Didn't even know how to react. And it was just like, holy shit. Like, I have a playing card now.
It's weird.
Wild.
Yeah, it's weird to think about in that sense. But, like, kind of what that represents is something that I think a lot of times – falls behind the scenes, even at Iowa, or I mean, especially now in the league, being from Cedar Rapids, even being from Marshalltown, or Drake being from Muscatine, like you go to the University of Iowa and you become this essentially like a larger than life figure from your hometown, right? It's like the guy who made it, right? Like, oh, he's over there in Iowa City doing big things. He's on the team. He's got the name on the back of the jersey. Was that ever? How did you deal with that? I know that for me, I always had this sense of like every once in a while I would have this weird dissociation with the reality that we were in. You know, like you wake up, you go to weights. It's just your life, right? But then every once in a while you're like, holy shit. Like I'm that guy that I used to put on an absolute pedestal. Like how did you deal with that? Did that ever like come to mind when you were in college or does it ever hit you now? Like I'm that guy that little kids in Cedar Rapids are looking up to, and like, what does that mean to you?
It was so surreal. Like when I made the team this past year, it was like, this is like the culmination of pretty much everything I've ever worked for. Like it, like I haven't made it obviously,
right?
But like you made it to the NFL. You're playing on an active roster in the NFL, and it was like you had to pinch yourself. Like going to bed, you're like, oh, like am I gonna wake up from this dream? Mm-hmm. Or anything like that. So it was like, holy shit, kind of made it. Like, and I would come back and like my stepdad would always tell me, he's like, you know how many people from Cedar Rapids make it to the NFL?
Zero.
He's like, I couldn't tell you the last person from Cedar Rapids that made it to the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like maybe the 80s.
Yeah.
He's like, it's been a long time.
I was going to call you a math guy. I don't think you're a math guy. You're kind of an everything guy. You're a smart dude, as Drake mentioned in the intro. And if you play the odds there, play the statistics, those are pretty small odds. And somehow you're the guy. You are the guy from Cedar Rapids that made it.
How many defensive linemen make it as offensive linemen in the NFL? If you're playing both those statistics at the same time, you're looking at an impossibility, I think.
I think there was one guy from Iowa a long, long time ago that did it. He switched to guard. He was like a nose guard, and he switched to guard. And
so, but like, how did you do it though? Because like, it's completely different. The positions couldn't be more different.
So I got placed in a pretty good organization that had patience with me, and so the guy that essentially found me, my position coach now, Hank Fraley. Pretty much came to one of my like pre-draft workouts and was like, you're not going to play defense for us. You're going to play offense for us. Let me work you out.
Holy shit.
And so he's like, hey, he ran me through a whole workout. Another guy came back from Detroit, ran me through another whole workout. They threw the playbook at me and they're like, hey, tell me what you remember. And I pretty much got...
You murdered that part.
Yeah, killed that part.
Like 97% of the things he's like, okay, just list off like the keywords here. And I was able to just like write them up on the board. And he's like, okay, we're not going to have an issue with the learning playbook part. Let's go on the field and work out. And so he's like, yeah, you obviously have never played offense before, never played offensive line, but you're a coachable guy. He's like, obviously coming from Iowa program, like you are able to learn and able to grasp these techniques and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's exactly opposite of what you've ever done before. And so having Coach Morgan, he would always like tell us like, hey, the offense is going to slide to you and try to do this to you at, right. like giving you the offensive perspective. And so just kind of the – all of that coming together helped me out tremendously.
Yep. Yeah, that makes sense.
So what's harder, since you've done both now, granted you've only done one in the NFL, which is as hard as it gets, but blocking those freaks of nature or getting to the quarterback? Because getting 10 sacks in an entire year is like a real accomplishment.
Blocking them for sure.
Yeah, it looks harder.
Because, I mean, so many things, okay, you set them. Okay, maybe they have a pressure coming. They have essentially a three-way go. They can go inside, they can go through you, they can go outside. And so they are the best athletes on the field. They are the biggest and the best athletes. I mean, you have guys like Von Miller, Chandler Jones, Khalil Mack, Za'Darius Smith, all very different people, but all extremely athletic and all extremely good at their craft.
Them boys didn't come from Cedar Rapids now.
No, not at all.
Which one of them, or at all, were you lined up against them and you said, like, no chance this is actually my life? Like, kind of a pinch-me moment, but, like, you even pinch yourself and realize you're awake and you still say, like, I'm hallucinating on mushrooms or something. Somebody gave me some bad DMT because I'm lined up against Khalil Mack and I don't know what to do.
The first series I went in versus Chicago, our starter went down with an injury, and they're like, Matt, you're in. And I'm like, okay, I'm on the right side. Okay, cool. And I'm like, who plays over on the right tackle? I'm like, shit, it's Khalil Mack. And I start having this, like, internal, like, panic attack. And the vets came up to me. He goes, dude, it's football. Just go block him. And I'm like, dude, that's Khalil Mack. And he's like, yeah, he's just another guy. And I'm like, no, he's not.
He's like, no, they're playing with 10 dudes and an alien is what they've got.
Like, have you seen him? Like, have you seen him play? And I was like, okay, oh, well, if we're going to do it, let's do it.
Well, you got a guy, you might as well die on your shield, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
They just threw me out to the fire. And
what was it like? Well,
I mean, it wasn't the cleanest game I've ever had. It wasn't the prettiest. I did my job. That's all I can say.
Was it an exhilarating experience? Because it has to – like, if you're going out to do something that initially you really don't know if you can do, it feels a little bit like an adrenaline rush, like, oh, shit, the bullets are flying type
Absolutely.
Situation.
Oh, yeah. It's like you have to deal with this anxiety of playing pretty much for the first time, because other than that, and I played a little bit earlier in the year – that's my first playing game experience as a O-lineman. And so bullets are flying. It's like, and then you finally get in that rhythm of things. And it's like, hey, it starts slowing down a little bit, and it starts becoming a little bit easier and easier. Not easier, but you start being able to dictate the tempo a little bit. You start settling down, your heart rate decreases, and you just start getting into that flow state. Like, you're fine.
Goes from tachycardic to bradycardic. Is that right? Yeah. A little medical term there. You know, I know my shit. The reason I always remembered that was because Tom Brady is always calm and cool under pressure. And so bradycardic is the lower blood pressure. Tachycardic is the higher one. I'm not dumb as shit.
You honestly didn't go to class enough to have those kind of techniques in your toolbox.
Yeah. I'm smart. I'm so smart. So many things. First of all, I want to go back to that Detroit guy comes into the pro day and says, hey, guess what? You're not playing D-line. Hey, you're going to play in the offensive line. Before that moment, you know, because you have talks, well, at least the guys who have a chance in the NFL, they have talks with guys in that process of like, hey, here's where we see you. We like you. This team likes you. Hey, we want to work on you with here. We want to see you get better here. Before that moment, had anyone said anything to you about transitioning to offensive line in the NFL, or were you full on like, I'm going to continue and just try and play D-line in the NFL?
There was a few teams that reached out to me and were like, you're not going to play D-line for us.
Why do you think that is?
I'm a slow white guy.
Speed, right? Speed?
I mean, he was just talking about blocking Khalil Mack, dude.
Right.
They're like, you're – you're not an athletic freak. And they're like, don't take offense to it. I'm like, I know what I am.
Right.
I know my capabilities. I mean, why waste effort and time on – not waste effort and time on trying to get faster, because you're not going to be as twitchy as some of those, like those D tackles in
the
NFL.
Never
will be. And so
– but they saw 6'8". You're 6'8", right?
Yeah.
They saw 6'8", and you probably weighed, what, 290 in college?
290,
295. Yep, there. So they saw that frame, and they're like, well, shit, that's a pretty good offensive line frame, if I don't say so myself. So they're like, hey, he's athletic. He plays D-line. He's got the frame of an O-lineman. Why don't we take a chance?
Yeah. So three or four teams reached out to me, and they're like, hey, can you do O-line stuff for us? Like, wow. At Pro Day. And
that's
so
awesome.
My agent flew out, Coach Paul Alexander, worked out with him for three, four days.
And who's he?
He used to be the Bengals offensive line coach.
Okay.
And now he's kind of like a O-line guru sort of figure.
Shout out to your agent. Balling out.
Big time. He's like, okay, what do we need to do? Like, if you really want to, like, actively pursue this, like, we need to teach you. And so I'm like, well, I go to Iowa, the best O-line school in the nation. And so, like, I'd talk to Coach Ferentz, and, like, they would – tell me all the techniques and everything like that. Well, I'm like, I need the coaching and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like during spring ball and that ramp up. So they didn't have time for me, obviously.
Sure.
And so they flew out this guy, and I worked out with him for 3-4 days to get the absolutely just rudimentary, basic, okay, this is a pass set, this is a run block, and just kind of go through with that with me. And then Pro Day rolls around, and I do some O-line, D-line stuff, and no one really contacted me for D-line. Surprise, surprise. And
it's okay.
Like,
it's okay. I've been there. I was also not contacted. I was also not contacted for the position I played or any other.
And like two or three other teams, the same teams that asked were like, hey, like, we're going to come out and work you out.
Mm-hmm.
And the only team that actually came out was Detroit. And so,
wow. There you go.
Yeah, it worked out.
So then through the whole draft weekend, because you went undrafted, it was basically like, hey, did you basically knew that, like, you were going to sign with Detroit after the draft?
Some teams came out of the woodwork and offered me D-line positions, and
sure.
It was like the Steelers, the Bears. And I'm like, okay, look at their D-lines.
You're like, I'm not taking Khalil Mack's job, so...
And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to take Akeem Hicks' jobs. I'm not going to take Blau Nichols. I'm not going to take Tuitts. I'm not going to take Cam Haywards.
Nope.
I'm not going to make the team. Let's be honest here. I'm a camp body. And through many, many talks with my agent, they're like, okay, well, let's explore O-line.
Yep.
And Detroit came out with an offer, and – I pretty much had to take it at that point.
Dude, so. I fucking love that so much, how you're so self-aware. What do you think about guys who, like, it's great to bet on yourself, right?
Guys that leave eligibility on the table to go to the draft and go undrafted?
Or guys who, you know, maybe in your situation, like, maybe it's a – maybe they try and play linebacker, but they, you know, the NFL wants them to be a D-end, but they're like, no, I want to play linebacker. It's like, dude, you're a little too slow, like, or they want to be a corner, and they just, like, do you think there's a lot of guys who, like, mess up their careers because they're trying to be something they're not? Like, that self-awareness for you is essentially why you're getting a shot. But you could have been very stubborn and said, no, I'm playing D-line, I'm going to make it. Like, I don't know, that's just interesting to me. I feel like a lot of guys don't have that kind of, hey, this is where I'm at. And I represent with that because I got that in high school. I realized, oh, I'm 5'10", and I run a 5'10", 40. So I'm going to try and play long snapper in the next level because I'm not going to be Josie Jewell. I don't know. I just wish more people would do that, man. You'd see guys maybe reach their potential.
I mean, just like you said, it's the you want to bet on yourself. And I just realized if I want to keep playing football, like, there's got to be some give and take here. Like, you got to be able to realize – the expectations and be real with yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm I'm a 6'8 guy that ran a 5.11 40 at my pro day. Like, yeah. That's not blazing edge speed.
Right.
If I wanted to keep playing football, I had to make decisions.
Yeah, for sure.
What's a more fun room to be in, the Lions O-line room or the Iowa D-line room?
They're both very different, and they're both very fun. But I would say you got to go with Iowa. Like, those are your boys. Like they've been through the whole college experience with you, so.
I was going to say, and you had a squad now. You're part of the Rat Pack, huh?
Yeah. The not dissing, like, the NFL at all, but, like, there's so much turnover from year to year. Like, half the room is new every year, regardless of,
yeah,
like, the team you're on. It's just the business of the NFL.
And college is a straight brotherhood, man.
Oh, yeah. Like, everyone's looking out for each other. Like, that D-line group was awesome.
Yeah, talk about them. I mean, Parker, fucking the other Nelson Tower, who just now has a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, how jealous are you of Lil Bro, bro? He's got a Super Bowl ring.
Living in Tampa, enjoying the nice weather year-round. Living the Super Bowl with Tom Brady.
A little better than Detroit weather, huh?
Yeah, I mean, they played us the past 2 years, like, around Christmas time. And he comes in all tan and everything like that. He's like, oh, it's so cold, it's like 50 degrees. I'm like, shut the hell up. It's like negative 20 here right now.
I mean, at least you guys have an indoor stadium. I mean, that's
oh, the best part of Ford Field is indoor, like those winter months.
Yeah,
brutal.
How ass is the city of Detroit? Like, be real.
There's some really fun pockets. Like,
sure, but how ass is the entire city of Detroit
compared to like other places? It's the Motor City, man.
It fell on some really bad times, but it is definitely on the come up.
Is it?
It really is. Like, so that it's downtown.
It's no longer a scary place to be.
There are some pockets, but like that heart of downtown, like that is like an awesome time. Like,
blowing up.
Bars, restaurants, like everything you want to do. Like, it's a fun time.
I just realized, Drake, that this is episode 213. We should have saved it for 100 later. We could have made it 313. And we could have got on Eminem as well. We could have brought both of you on.
We'll do it for 313.
Yeah, we'll get M. We'll get M for then. Back to real quickly, because there's a bunch of other stuff I want to talk about. Because you're smart as shit. You were gonna be a doctor at one point. There's some other stuff. When we were talking about, you know, only guy from Cedar Rapids and however long to make it, you're playing a new position, right? So there's this sense of like urgency that I'm sure you feel. And I mean, you said it yourself, you haven't made it yet, right? Like, you're not an established guy. You're still, and I feel like everyone says this, for those first 2, 3, 4 years, you always feel like you're clawing to just grab some sort of, hey, I've got some stability here. Is that what is that anxiety like?
It's crazy. My wife will even tell you, she's like, there's some days that are worse than others, but like, you got to come in like every day, like feeling like you're going to get cut. Like, you got to work that hard that you're going to get cut.
Yeah.
If you don't, it's the anxiety of it's crazy because the scouting assistants that come through, I mean, we just call them the Reapers. Like, if you see them in the locker room,
run.
Yeah, you better hide. That's and so, like, good. This past year, it was like, you know, I'm not going to go in the facility all the day. Like, I don't want to, because I did it the year before. Like, I was in the facility, they came and got me. I was like, okay, this is the end of it. But this year, like, I'm not going to the facility today, but we had to, like, do some, like, check-in and COVID tests. So I was in there for a little bit, hiding out, like, hey, I'm in the float tank for an hour. Like, can't see me. You don't know I'm here. And it's like, you're just waiting for that phone call, like, hey, can you pop in? Like, we need to talk to you.
Fuck.
That deadline rolls around. They still haven't called me. I'm like, did they forget? Did they forget to call me?
Did somebody turn the clocks back or what?
Yeah, and I'm just, like, checking my phone, and I'm just waiting for that, like, 4 o'clock, like, 4 o'clock Eastern or whatever time it is, and I'm just, like, 3:59, 4 o'clock.
It's over.
I'm like, did I just make the team?
That's got to feel fucking good, man.
And it was, like, just, like, chills. Like, I was like, holy shit, I just made a team.
Let's go.
That's insane.
And I called my wife, and I'm like, I think I made the team. And she's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, they didn't cut me.
Because, again, being real, like, you know your spot, where you're at on the team right now, like, you know, where you're at on the depth chart. You're not stupid enough to sit there and go, oh, I ain't getting cut. Like, I'm not one of those guys. Like, you know that, like, if you put up 10 names and 5 of them are getting cut, like, you're somewhere, you know, you're kind of riding that line in these first couple of years, especially being a guy who's, hey, I'm, you know, you're playing a position you didn't, you have all these almost check marks against you, right? Like, undrafted, playing a new position. So you feel that's that urgency that I'm almost talking about. It's gotta be wild, man. I mean, obviously making the team worth it, but just that up and down roller coaster of emotions is—it probably fuels you. I mean, I imagine that has to fuel you during workouts and during practices, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like I essentially have to take out of every rep, like at practice, I got to take out like 1.5. Like I got to make it 1.5 reps or 2 reps compared to their 1.
Mm-hmm.
Like I got to get more out of it than they do because I'm playing catch up to everybody.
Yeah. It's exhausting. Hey there, guys. Want to pop in, interrupt the episode for just a second. You guys have heard me talk about my personal training, my fitness business, tylerkluver.com, all the stuff I'm doing there, trying to help people lose weight, get healthy, look fit, just feel better than they have in a really long time. And I'm going to shameless self-plug real quick. I do the one-on-one coaching. I do all this stuff. I'm not a great salesman. All right. What I am good at is helping people lose weight, helping people find sustainable behavioral tactics to use for the rest of their life to make fitness and nutrition easy and to help people get healthier. I am dropping today, the day that this comes out, May 10th, 2021, I'm dropping the 30-day challenge for June. You've got 3 weeks to sign up before we let this challenge rip. It's going to be incredible. It's intermittent fasting based, but it's not mandatory. It's a simple challenge, not very invasive, but the results are insane. Those who commit to this challenge have consistently, over 4 different challenges, shown that they will lose anywhere from 10 to 12 pounds. That's male or female. And it's all just by changing when you eat and how much you eat. You can still eat all your favorite foods. You still continue your current workout regimen. All you have to do is make a few simple changes, and the results.
General managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed Assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Really are incredible that you can see in just 30 days, but past that, how this can change your life and the way that you think about eating, the results are they're just incredible. And I want to be able to help you guys out. So if you guys are interested, please go to tylerkluver.com right now. Find the 30-day Fast Fit Challenge. You can sign up. When you hear this podcast, you can sign up. Sign up is live. Or if you have additional questions, please contact me on my website, tylerkluver.com, or hit me on one of my social medias and direct message me. I will message you back. We can get it all figured out. I want to help you look good for summer. So let's go do it. Now back to the show. You have your master's degree already?
I have two bachelor degrees.
You have two bachelor degrees. Okay. And talk about, yeah. So what are those in? And then talk about what the plan was before this whole NFL thing started to sort of work out. Like, I read somewhere that, like, you passed the MCATs, you're getting ready to, like, get into medical school. What was the plan before this?
So I was going into senior year, and I was like, well, I mean, if football doesn't work out, I'm going to start my other avenue of life. And I got my degree in biology and another one in human phys. And so going into senior year, I ripped up my labrum in my shoulder. And so I wasn't doing spring ball, so I was studying for the MCAT. Took the MCAT and pretty good score on it and started doing interviews and stuff like that and didn't get into anywhere at first. And so if football didn't end up working out, I was planning on working in a research lab, and I was doing that actually at the same time I was training for pro day and everything like that. I was helping out with animal surgeries and orthopedics and neurosurgery. So,
what type of
doing all that, trying to like boost my resume. I want to be an orthopod. So I want to be like a team doc. That'd be a dream job. Yeah.
Wow. That'd be cool.
And so, cause like want to be around sports, want to be around athletes and all that sort of stuff. And orthopedics would definitely be the best route for that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let Kevin. I was just doing all that sort of.
Kevin's not here today, but don't let Kevin sell you any of his fucking striker pieces. He just
or if you buy striker pieces, just don't buy them from Kevin's.
Yeah. Don't give him that fucking that revenue. Wow. So you're saying you got a pretty good score on the MCAT and you didn't get into anywhere?
I was too young and inexperienced, according to all the places that I interviewed.
Okay, so that's where the working with the what you were doing was coming in. You're trying to like pad up the resume a little bit.
So I worked at that place pretty much every summer.
Oh.
And then like during Iowa, like playing there.
Jesus.
And then during pro day, I was working there because I graduated in the spring. I was pretty much working there full time on staff as like a research assistant.
Bro, Kluver was playing Fortnite full time, and you were on staff at a research lab.
Yeah, dude, we live different lives, brother.
So let me ask you this: are you gonna go into orthopedics when you're done? Because even if your NFL career goes a long time, you would still have a very lengthy potential orthopedic career before it was time to retire there. Like, you still interested in it, or are you just going to be like, fuck it, I made enough money in the NFL, I did well with my investments, I'm going to relax on being a doctor?
I would like to be involved with science and athletes and medicine in some way. It all depends on how long football lasts. Like, if it ended tomorrow, I would probably go back into med school and do all that sort of stuff. But
yeah.
But even if it ends when you're 35, like, you could have a super lengthy NFL career and you're still only 35 years old and you have, I don't know, just thought. Because you're actually talented as fuck like that. Like, I can't go be a doctor. Kluver can't even go tie somebody else's shoes for him.
It's true. Well,
you got to go back to school for 4 years.
I was just going to say, what does the schooling look like that you haven't completed yet to even get there?
So I got to do the full med school. So it's 4 years.
Okay.
And
then residency.
Residency, which can vary from specialty to specialty, and then fellowships and all that sort of stuff. So I could, like, if you said if I was 35 when I started med school, I'd probably be close to 43 to 45 before I had my first orthopedic job.
Oh God. That would be really hard to, I mean, probably not for you, which is kind of getting at my next question, but like, you know, if you all of a sudden do 8 to 10 years in the league and you have a few million put away, the motivation to go be a doctor, unless you just truly love it, which again I feel like is closer to your scenario, the motivation isn't as like, I have to go do this to support myself. Like, I don't know. That would be very tough for me to do, to go back for like another 8 years of schooling. Stuff
yeah,
like that.
I mean, and priorities change. And like, obviously my family is very, very important to me.
Right.
And 35, most likely going to have kids and all that sort of stuff. Do I really want to go to med school while I have kids and a wife at home? Like,
good point.
Yeah, bro, stay at home dad does sound a lot better than med student, honestly.
I joke around with Haley all the time that I want to be a stay at home dad, and she's got to
rock on, brother.
What does your wife do? I saw an article. Someone did an article on you that y'all like had a wedding plan for like April 2020, and then fucking COVID ruined everything. So what was that like? Because I went through it. I'm married. Drake isn't, and it was stressful enough putting together a wedding when there was no COVID. What was that process like? You let her take care of it all?
Her and her mom pretty much handled everything. I mean, we had it 95 to almost 100% planned, fleshed out, all that sort of stuff. And 2 weeks before, the governor shut down the state, and we had to cancel our wedding.
Oh.
And we ended up doing like a Zoom, like courthouse style wedding, where it was just like us and really close family. We broadcasted on Zoom and everything like that. So we've been married for over a year.
I mean, hey, at least you're married. How's marriage life? What's your advice to all other married couples 1 year in?
Our relationship literally didn't change other than the fact that I wear a ring on my finger.
Yep. I feel you. You and her have been together since like high school, right?
Yeah. Since end of sophomore year, junior year.
Yeah. So my wife and I are the same. We met in like seventh grade and basically were on and off through high school and then all the way through college. So it's like when people, I feel like it's so different. You probably feel the same way. It's like a lot of people are still learning a bunch about their spouse when they meet, and they've only been together for like 2 or 3 years in college. And like for me and my wife, like we grew up together. So I mean, there isn't a goddamn thing we don't know. It makes it, I don't know, but it sounds bad because, you know, there's no kids yet. We're only 2 years in, but it seems to be a lot easier when you grow up together and like you literally change and mature together than when you meet and you kind of have these different paths that maybe clash and you don't know things about each other. I don't know. That's my viewpoint on it, but.
Yeah, I would echo that viewpoint as well. I mean, yeah. It's very similar. Like, we matured together, we grew up together, so it makes it a whole lot easier.
A lot of things are definitely easier. When Kevin last night, when I told the boys, I was like, all right, we got Nelly tomorrow at 10. Kevin's response was something like
0% chance.
What?
He said 0% chance I make it.
He said 0% chance I make it because he's in a surgery right now. He does orthopedic sales, like we said. And then he also said, Mr. Smarty Fuckpants Doctor or something like that is what he called you. And I was like, okay. All right. I mean, yeah. What are some similarities between medicine, not that you're in it, but like, you know, that sort of path, and being a Division I or a professional athlete, what do you think crosses over there?
The fact that you have to be cerebral in terms of like processing things and being able to calm under pressure and like mm-hmm. experience any of those surgeries and just kind of watching like the surgeon is so like calm and collected and
surgical.
He's surgical, obviously, but he's able to process everything so efficiently. And I mean, when the bullets are flying and everything like that, and then in a game, like, you got to be able to process things efficiently and be able to say, like, okay, if he's going to do that, I'm going to do this. Like, he's coming at this angle, I got to go at this angle. Mm-hmm. And being able to adjust on the fly and not freak out and stay calm and collected is definitely the biggest thing in terms of, like, the transition and the carryover between the two. And being able to read something in a book and apply it like immediately is another huge thing as well.
Yeah. Taking
all right, here's a discussion. What's more stressful, open heart surgery as a surgeon or third down against the Bears?
Open heart surgery. Someone's life is in your hands.
Well, your quarterback's life kind of is too.
Yeah, but you can do it in you can pass pro, and you could literally just cut your guy, or you could get in his way, and you can block him the cleanest as possible. Open heart surgery, there's pretty much one way you got to do it, and you got to do it really well.
Yeah, but you also got a lot of partners there to help you, you know? Like, Dr. Wolf had a couple partners to help put my leg back together. Imagine how many people you got to bounce ideas off when somebody's heart's wide open.
Yeah, I don't know if it's...
But then you also got... You got your center making the slide call towards you to help you with your with whoever. You got a chip coming from a tight end. You got your guard sliding out to clean up an inside move.
Touche.
You got help either way.
Touche.
Talk about a center. Y'all just re-signed Frank Ragnow, right?
He's a beast.
And is he just like that
good?
He's a
football guy.
He's a football guy.
I mean, he broke his throat last year and played the rest of the game.
He broke his throat, dude?
Broke his throat. And played the rest of the game.
Like the hyoid bone?
I think it was, yeah, the hyoid. But, yeah, like he came into the locker room and he couldn't talk. Like he wrote it down. He's like, broke throat.
That's the best story I've ever heard, dude. Broken yep. throat and played the rest of the fucking game.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Some guy got him right in the throat. With a high and didn't get called, obviously.
Of course.
And played the rest of the game and came in the next morning and we all found out that he had a broken throat.
Dude, that is brutal. And that brings up another point. You've now played both. Who do you think gets away with more, defensive linemen or offensive linemen?
D-line for sure.
Yeah?
I mean, there's a lot of hands to the face that don't get called. There's a lot of defensive holding that doesn't get called.
Mm.
And I obviously took advantage of that when I played.
Right.
So
I think that's a funny conversation because the offensive and defensive side of the ball, they always claim that the other side is getting away with more shit. And now that you've played both positions, it's fun to get that perspective on it.
I mean, I can get away with a few holds on the offensive line, but you got to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
So did he have surgery on his broken throat? Like, we didn't finish this conversation.
No, he didn't.
That just it's like a broken finger. It just fixes itself.
Apparently, he's able to talk fine right now. So,
jeez. How long did it take him to play?
He was off the next week, and I believe he played the week after that.
Out 1 week with a broke throat.
And the thing is, it was
wrong guy.
It wasn't him that held him out. It was the docs. They're like, you might have some serious like damage for the rest of your life if you play this week.
That's insane.
Otherwise, he would have played.
And he would have said, I don't give a fuck, except for his throat was broken. He couldn't make any noise.
He's a football guy.
And he just signed for, I just pulled it up. He just signed for
million.
$54 million, 4 years? Or is that the previous contract?
I've heard $70 million.
Yeah, okay. I heard $70 million.
Okay,
he's worth it.
Talk about a guy who's doesn't need to get a job after he's done. I mean, Jesus. That's insanity. Now that you're in the off season, you made the team, you're in the off season. It's different in the NFL because guys have their own resources. And I mean, that guy just got hurt and now the Broncos like might not give him his money. There's all this shit, right? Like it's a business. It's different.
Yeah.
And y'all are a little bit on your own to even train in the off season, especially with COVID, take care of your bodies. It's, you know, guys in college, they don't have the resources to go get a float tank in or a massage or a cryo, you know, like, mm-hmm. You know, you got the Normatex at the facility, couple pairs, guys will go in and wear them. You can go in and get a hot tub, but there's not as great of a list of things that you can do to kind of gain that edge off the field. How do you approach that kind of thing?
So last year with COVID, I invested in myself and purchased a very nice power lift rack.
Atta boy.
And yeah, it's all black and yellow.
Let's go.
Ask Kluver how jealous he is.
I'm jealous. My gym's coming together. I almost put a pull up bar through my skull on Thursday as I was attaching that, but it's all good. I don't have the power rack, but I'm sure that's nice. That allows you to get work done.
Yeah. I work out and Iowa sends me some stuff and I kind of make a hybrid Detroit Lions, Iowa, Matt Nelson training program.
Nice.
And train myself.
Love it. Love it. Massage, cryo, any of that stuff, dry needling, fucking...
I've really gotten into cupping recently.
Really?
And purchased a cupping set for myself.
Wow, that's awesome. I've never done it, but it looks good.
It's one of the only recovery modalities that is decompressive.
Mm.
And so that's the big thing that I take away from it is everything is compressive, 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 and then you get one thing that kind of decompresses the tissue.
True. I think that's why I like the inversion table so much, is it's decompressive on the spine. I use that thing more than anybody when we were at Iowa, and it's only because I was trying to get lengthened out to 6'2", but also it helped my back feel good.
I am borderline too tall for most of those things.
I know. They're a little, yeah, you got to probably have like a special one made or an extra extension, but I have one down in my, like in my basement that I still use to this day. Actually, we got it, we put it on our wedding registry and somebody got it for us. It's the best wedding present we've gotten. My back is always healthy and I'm doing CrossFit shit on the daily. So, it's just kind of crazy to see, like, you know, you hear like LeBron, Russell, Wilson, like they'll spend like $1 million on their body. Obviously, you don't have those kind of resources yet. Hopefully, someday you got that Ragnow money. But yeah, that's interesting. There was one more question I had for you. I gotta find it. It had to do with training. I read somewhere that like when they got you to Detroit, they did some special stuff with you. Like there was a very specific program that they kind of ran you through strength conditioning wise to kind of turn you into, and it probably wasn't just strength conditioning wise either. Like I'm sure you've gained weight and so what was that off the field process of transitioning into an O lineman like?
It was a lot of calories. I couldn't even tell you the exact amount of calories, but it was like anytime you go to a meeting, grab like two snacks and a shake. Like, oof. It was like
you were back to freshman year Iowa again.
Yeah, it was pretty much like Gainer shake, like not quite the old Gainer shakes. If you guys remember those,
from oh yeah, applesauce, you can
mess
them. There's something different about them that just it's just right.
It was right. It was right.
I think some would disagree, but yeah, I get it.
I can't explain it, but it was like I kind of want one. I want one.
Dude, so if you could get me one with the cookies and cream powder and the old chocolate shakes, bro.
The chocolate shakes in the can, brother.
Those were ice cold. Yeah, those things slap.
Throw in two packs of applesauce so it's got some nice texture to it.
You can.
Oh my god, dude! You know what's crazy now? Our whole team should have been using UCAN. The whole team should have been using UCAN. I never really looked into it. It's a time release carbohydrate powder, and I didn't know that because I didn't need it. Right? Like specialists didn't need that shit, but like everybody on the team should have been like, definitely on game days utilizing UCAN because it's just like even level extended energy throughout the entire game instead of like, you know, hitting a pack of like chews at halftime.
I think the smart guys did use UCAN. Like I drank a ton of UCAN.
Maybe you did. I don't know. The whole team should have been on though, for sure.
Back to the training regimen. It was, I practiced obviously every day with them and I did pretty much everything at practice. I played O-line, D-line, at the end of the year when injuries hit us pretty good, I was on the back line of kick return. I was on the punt team.
Jesus Christ.
I did everything minus punt return on, like, special teams, like, everything.
Got to increase that value, baby.
It was just like, I'm like, okay, do you need a body, like – by the end of the year, I was just doing sprints up and down the field, wasn't coming off the field for practice because I was choking.
That's tough.
And then I would lift 4 days a week. Twice, I would back squat twice a week, and it was usually like a regimen of for probably 3/4 a year, I was doing over 400 pounds for 5 sets of 5 back squat.
Oh, God, no. No. Yeah.
Twice a week.
Oh. So
on Tuesdays, I was hitting that, and on Saturdays, I was hitting that.
Dude, you put your body through it.
Oh, I was through the ringer.
What do you weigh now?
About 320.
Yikes.
Ooh, beefy guy.
Yeah, beefy. Beefy is right.
But your face isn't fat, though. Like,
well,
good
6'8".
For you that you didn't get a fat face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad the double chin hasn't come in yet.
Yeah. Well, it's 6'8". You got so much room. Dude, I get to over 200, and Pillsbury Doughboy enters the picture. Last question.
Our strength coach looked at me. He goes, "Have you ever heard of Nate Solder?"
Yeah.
Yep.
And they're like, "Yeah, he looks like you." And he was just like, "He weighs about 330 now."
Oh God. Yeah, because he's what, 6'7"?
He's like 6'7", and he's like a hard bod.
Yep.
Like he is jacked.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, at that size, you're gonna be able to put on that kind of muscle mass and just be an absolute animal. So, wow. That's incredible to hear. I love hearing about like extreme stuff like that. It just interests me. What's Patricia like?
He's interesting. He's a really good football mind. It's just towards the end of it, we needed a change.
Yeah.
How are we feeling about MCDC, though?
MCDC?
Motor City Dan Campbell, baby.
Oh, he's great. I mean, his energy is Detroit. Like,
has he met your kneecaps yet?
No. through the Zoom screen, maybe. I mean, you can tell he's a former player, and
yeah,
he's just got that energy about him that I feel like he's going to be a really good head coach for us.
Yeah, that Dan Campbell energy damn near made me a Detroit Lions fan, except for you guys are in Detroit, which we already spoke about Detroit earlier.
Yeah.
Sorry, bud, I'm a Matt Nelson fan, but Detroit.
What's it like? What's it like watching Hawk do his thing all over the place?
Dude, it's awesome, and he's still the same goofy Hawk that everybody knows.
Yep, that's awesome. He really is too. Like he's a big old 15-year-old is what he is.
Yes, that's exactly what he is.
And he's like, talk about big. Like he's getting big. He's down with George working out. Like George has the barn. I think George is probably they're handing out like Anavar needles down there. I'm pretty sure.
Well, you can't be saying that. That's fraud. Clipper's lying.
It just seems like something's in the water down there in old Tennessee, you know.
Hey, bro, iron sharpens iron.
Is that the tight end, like, training guru down there or something?
Gotta be, yeah. Everybody, you know, Rob Ton, fucking Daphne was down there. I know there's a few others that trained with them, too, and they got a whole squad, and all they do is they're living the life, man. The life.
Eat, train, and sleep.
Yeah. I think they have a chef. I'm pretty sure they have their own chef.
They do. His name's Dave, and he is a king.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you sign for 75 for 5, we're not talking 85% for 5 like Matt Nelson was squatting. We're talking 75 millis on the table for 5 years. Then you can do what you want, and that's what George is doing, and he's fucking living the life, and I'm envious to the max degree. Awesome. Well, we appreciate you joining us, Matt. This was a fun conversation. A lot of interesting stuff that your life has a lot of interesting turns, and it's not over yet, I'm sure. We want to see you fucking kill it for a long time.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. 2:13, Wash Up Walk-Ons. Hopefully you enjoyed our time with Matt Nelson today. We'll be back again on Thursday, hopefully with Ike Butker. The guy keeps kind of – Ike and Josie, they act like dad life, like they have responsibilities. And I know that their wives are taking care of the kids.
So, you know what Ike's responsibility was this weekend?
Yeah, being Marshall Kane's bodyguard. I saw it.
Yeah.
I saw it. So shout out to the boys. Hopefully we can get Ike and Josie on soon. If they don't come on soon, I'm questioning if they're trying to distance themselves as friends of me, which is understandable, but it hurts. It hurts bad, so I'm trying to hold on to that. We'll talk to you guys then. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo. We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams. Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today. So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram, too.